We declare this morning, Lord, that we are yours. You paid the price. You created us. Sin came and devastated the relationship, but God, you came and you restored and you paid. And we are yours again, Lord, as we've always been. And take us deeper this morning, Lord. Take us deeper into your heart. Deeper into a knowledge and understanding of the Father and who you are, Lord. God, I pray that you open our eyes, the eyes of our understanding, our spiritual eyes this morning, Lord. Enable us to see you, enable us to experience you, enable us to experience the depth, the heights, and the width of your love, Lord, this morning. More than what we can comprehend, more than what we can describe this morning, Lord. More than what we can even take in. So much more. But if we can just start it somewhere, Lord, we're standing here and we say, Lord, we are willing. Jesus, thank you. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Hannah. Guys. And I do the same that I did with the first service with the guys. All the guys, everybody there, something prophetically we did. We're talking about loving one another. Those of you who have not been here last week, just to recap, I'm going to recap on that in a quick while. But we're talking about loving one another for 5 weeks. Last week was our first, this week is our second week, and then for 4 weeks still, we're going to talk about love one another. What does that mean? What does God say to us about love one another? But I want us to do something prophetically, and I was single men just have to be careful here. I want you to go to somebody that you do not know, okay? This is going to say it feels strange to you. But under this roof, under the name of Christ, we are united for one Father. And I want you to give that person a hug and just tell him, I love you, okay? Maybe you don't feel that, because emotions need to follow, okay? Because that's something in the spirit. I don't know, that's why it's joking with a single man. It's not your opportunity to go to the girl and tell her, I love you, and make your love declaration. But go to somebody that God is laying upon your heart, and just give that person a hug. Or if you feel that you can't give a hug, give him a handshake at least, and tell him, I love you. Because this is why we are here this morning, because of one Father this morning that's uniting us. Okay. The first service were much more responsive than you guys, so I'll have to help you here quickly. Dankie, Anna, vir jou ook. Some of the men, we struggle with that. Not a lot of words. you say it, I love you, okay. Say you're sorry. I can't get it. I'm stumbling over my words and come on, we'll have to help one another with that. That's why I said, do it. I'm wrong. Listen, it's coming from a woman. See that? Okay, I'm wrong. I have to say that, and you have to practice that sometimes. But no, we're doing that prophetically. I know our emotions and feelings and all of that doesn't necessarily line up with what God is. And it's so important. It's first obedience, first what God says, and then our emotions will follow through that. So we've been talking about loving one another. Last week we shared about two aspects. There was prayer and transparency. Okay, we spoke about those. So you can download that. I want to encourage you to go and download that on our website and listen to those. I honestly believe God is taking us to a deeper place in Him as we discover actually our own flaws. And lately I'm just at the place in my own relationship with the Lord that God is just making me getting my attention to areas that I thought, man, I thought I was okay in this area. Until His spotlight is in that area and you realize, God, you wouldn't allow that spotlight to be there if there wasn't something you want to talk about. So I just want to encourage you over this next couple of weeks and even after that, because loving one another is just such a deep theme or such a loaded thing that 4 weeks is not even enough to share what God has to say about love one another and where we are. So if you're not here, download that afterwards. Our services hopefully soon will be on the show for online TV, so you can see us in person as well. And but we're working towards that. We should be soon be ready. Last month's one we edited. We had a problem with our software, but hopefully this month, at the end of this month, we'll be running on show for online TV. All the services afterwards, if you want to watch that. So, but before we go there, let's just put our hands on our hearts. Which side is it? This side. This side. My. Yeah. Okay, we're going to just allow the Lord, just invite Him, okay? He's going to come in today like a good surgeon with a scalpel, with a knife. I know the moment you heard knife, you were already threatened like me. When you heard injection, you suddenly think about, oh, what's going to happen? Anyway, today He's going to take that knife again, and we're just going to allow Him, okay? Just to cut and just allow Him just to do what He needs to do. Lord, we thank You this morning that it's Your Spirit that's present here this morning. Father, no man, no word of man, Lord, no glorification of man, but Your name to be glorified in our midst. And Father, as You put Your light upon us, as Your Spirit is present here, we just stand before You naked, Lord, without anything, Lord, just being honest with ourselves. And Lord, we give You permission, Lord, to be honest. And Father, I pray for every single person this morning, myself included, Father, as we stand before You, Lord, allow us to hear Your voice and no other voice. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, I'm excited about this morning, really, because I see what God is doing in my own life, and it's not necessarily always a nice work, but it's a necessary work. But this morning, we're going back to the Old Testament, where they're stoning people, so I want a few volunteers that wants to be stoned, or can we practice that? Three guys, quickly, that's got no fear of death. Okay, three guys, please. Thanks, Willibald, for that. Hey, come on, three, okay, I've got them. You got to give them a hand. They're not afraid of death. We're going to publicly stone them now for all the sins they've committed over the last week. We do it in the front of all witnesses, biblical days. We're going back to the Old Testament. Can you just see how I'm going to do that now? Okay. All the sensitive viewers, just, no, that's right. We're not going to do that. I'm going to give this to Willibald. Okay, we all see this is a brick. Okay, there's no, it's all clear on that. Okay, so you have to stand a bit further apart from one another. Has any one of you played rugby before? Somehow. Oh, and this is not soccer today, okay? You can't kick this. Okay. What about, you're a brick maker? Okay. That's it. You get the idea. Okay. Now you have to pass this back to him, but you have to speed it up a little bit. No, you're too careful. Quicker, quicker, quicker. Okay. Okay, let it go to the other side. Okay, Willibald, I'll take that for a moment. Okay, tell the people, this is the audience, the congregation, there's not an audience with us, okay? You're not the spectator. This, the texture of this brick, is it smooth? Is it easy to catch? Did you like the texture? Is it rough? Yeah,
it's
hard. It's hard. Yeah. And the quicker you pass the message, or the brick, actually, the bigger risk there is that it can get hurt or damage something with it. Or drop it. Especially on those beautiful white shoes. But it looks like you've got steel toes. Can I test it? Huh? Gibson. Okay. I'm going to do another thing. I'm going to help you. Okay. I'm not going to wash dishes. Men, don't worry. That's already been done. That's why you don't volunteer there at the back to wash dishes. Okay. Rather volunteer to become an usher. But unless you want to do that and you practice for when you get married, you can become one of the ladies, help the ladies there at the back Because one day when you get married, you'll have to do that. That's a secret, eh? No, I'm just joking. Okay, don't pass it to me. I want you to pass that. No, don't walk past the ball. Okay, don't let the cloth fall off. Okay, let's keep it on there. Quicker, quicker. There's another guy in the team, okay? Okay, that should do. Blow the whistle. They want to play that. Okay, you can take a seat. Thank you. Give them a hand. Okay, that was church. We just passed a few bricks and a cloth. You're wondering why I'm doing this all? We're talking this morning about loving one another. Last week we spoke about prayer and transparency. This morning we're going to talk about honesty and sensitivity. Okay, I'm just going to give it to you out there so you wonder why and what we're doing. You see, this brick has potential damage. And to me, this represents truth. Honesty. Let me put it this way. We all have to... In order to change, truth needs to confront us some or another time in our life, to measure our lives. You, some or another time, need an honest conversation with God and with yourself. To ask yourself the question, am I in right standing with God? Am I at a place where my relationship, where I'm at peace with God? And in order for that to happen, truth needs to come. Because we are not truth. Jesus is truth. Truth is a person. In other words, we need to be honest. When we say to one another, we need to love one another, we'll have to be honest with one another and bring the truth, the full truth to one another. Now, what the church has done over years, and sometimes we tend to do, is we want to cut some of the truth just so that it's just a little bit easier to handle. So rather just take off, chisel it off here, so now it's easier, maybe around, now you can handle it easier. But we have never called to change this. Never. Never ever we were called to change the truth. Some people, actual fact, think their calling is in life is to throw stones in the kingdom of God. I'm just going to throw some truth over there, and hopefully it will hit somebody, and then he will repent of his sin. And I think I've done God a favor, and I feel very satisfied in myself. Man, I just brought the truth into that situation, and hopefully there will be peace. Actually, there was more damage because you didn't know how to handle truth, and you didn't know how to be properly honest with people. So, truth and it's as such, or being just honest with people, we'll have to learn sometimes to be sensitive. How we pass that truth or that honor, how are we going to be honest? Because sensitivity to me deals with the way we're delivering that message. It's still the same thing that's ending up on the other side. It was just easier to receive because we were sensitive to the environment or to the people there. Okay, so we're not going to change this morning. We're not going to change the message. Okay, I can't. I can, but that wouldn't be unbiblical. Okay, God has never called us to do that, but God has called us to realize what is the full truth. First of all, many of us need to come to that place where we realize what is truth. What is my understanding of truth? How do we understand it? And that's our duty or our responsibility to study the Word to understand that completely. And then somewhere along the line, we have to discover how to pass that on to people. That's a skill, I believe. And with the Holy Spirit, of course. Most important. That's why they joke about that and say new believers, sometimes they have to lock them up for 2-3 years just because once they get saved, all they want to do is just take this brick, not like this. I have to sort out my family now and bring the truth. You knew all the time you were doing wrong. Today, God is here to help you. He started with me, and now he's going to start with you. Now, I like the zeal of the young people when they just come to Christ. There's something beautiful in that. But sometimes we have to learn how to pass this message on and to be sensitive to others. And this morning, as we continue on to this in the series, there's no better person this morning than to look at Jesus' life. Because Jesus had conversations with loads of people. He had groups, he had single people, he had couples, I want to say, he had disciples. He was addressing crowds and crowds of people. Yet at the same day, after addressing the crowd, he would cross the lake, go through a storm, cross out and the other, get out on the other side and face one man, deliver him from the demons and communicating something to us. That is, he's there for the crowds and he would send a message out to the crowds, yet he's not too important, too busy to still cross the lake for one person. And there's a message for us here this morning as well as the church. Some of us, we just want to sit down with the one. And God will have to learn you to sit down with the many and to understand the vision of the church sometimes to kind of use that cursing word in the church, multiply. Many of us shiver when we hear the word multiply. We think, I don't want to go there. But that's part of the truth. And then at the same time, as we reach out the hundreds or the thousands or wherever God is going to take us, we still need to have the heart to cross the lake, to endure all of that for one single person, as Jesus did. Now let's look at Jesus' life. And there's a few stories I want to tell you or to read. So what we're going to do, we're going to vote this morning. It's not a democracy, but this morning I'm going to see what the response would be. I've got three stories that I want to use this morning out of the from Jesus' life. So it's up to you now. You want me to read the three stories? You want me to tell you the stories? Tell the stories. Who wants me to tell the stories rather than reading it this morning? Okay, the majority. Okay. So the rest of you, sorry, you're the minority. Next week, hopefully we can please you. Today we'll please the majority. All right, there's three stories I'd like to share this morning with you. And it's beautiful how Jesus just connects with people. Different stories, you can use it. You can pick different stories. I had to pick three stories and I had to take out the skeleton out of that in order to give us a message this morning, in order to ask myself the question, how did Jesus relate in terms of honesty and sensitivity when he connected with people? How can we learn from his way, the interaction he had with people? So the first story this morning, it was a man called, well, I mean, I'm just giving his name away. Zaki is not here this morning. Who's the tallest here? Okay, he wasn't like Saki, okay? Saki, we all know Saki in the first service. He's a tall guy, okay? He appears tall as well. I think myself, I would appear tall, but anyway. But nevertheless, he was the opposite of Saki. One of these guys, one of the boys here. Can I have you here in the front, quickly? Maybe, I don't know, maybe not that length, but for the sake of the illustration. Not this guy, the story, the guy in the Bible, okay? So we have the story about this man that heard about Jesus coming by. And then he hears the crowd and he hears that Jesus is coming through his town. And then suddenly he decided, well, I'm going to get up in the tree. And he climbs the tree. It's like, yes. Huh? This man is your favorite man, the receiver of revenue. Amen. Who said amen? Is you a liar? I hope you didn't say amen. Okay? I had so many liars in the first service. They all said amen. I said, you're lying. The receiver of revenue is not your favorite man. I know. We're still struggling giving that money away. But nevertheless, get back to the point. You can sit down. This short man, short of stature, not the favorite man in the community. Probably very cunning, conniving, sly man that take money from other people. Unfair. But yet he hears about Jesus coming by and he decides, well, I'm going to get up the tree. And a beautiful story, something beautiful that happens there. Jesus walks into the town and then he gets to the place of where he's standing under the tree and I don't want to whistle, but it's... Hey! Zacchaeus! Zacchaeus! Sorry, that was Afrikaans. Probably Zacchaeus was English. In this service, he was English. I think previous service, he wouldn't understand that. Okay. Come down. And this is what Jesus said. This is beautiful. Listen to this. He said, Zacchaeus, come down because I want to stay with you. I want to go into your house and have communion with you. This is beautiful. The master, the king, stopping at one place and he's, first of all, he knows his name, which says to me this morning, he doesn't just know his name. He knows your name. Isn't it beautiful? He knows your name this morning. He knows exactly where you are, when you were born, when you will die, what tomorrow will be. He's interested in your life. And then he invites Sagis to that special place of intimacy, to a place of let's talk. It's almost like, not in that sense, but when somebody gives you a call and says, listen, I want to come around for coffee. That excitement when you have a good friend coming around. Oh, they're going to come out for coffee. Let's just get the lady sometimes to prepare a cake or something and let's just make it special for them. But even more than that, the King of Kings, he came, he stopped by, he called him on his name and he said, Zacchaeus, I know all about that stuff, but can we go down, go into your house, climb down. I want to sit with you or I want to spend some time with you. There's another story I want to tell you. Okay? The other story that happens this way. We're the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were also not the popular people, but they were the people in the community, the religious people. They knew the law. They studied the law. They had a degree in theology and the master's degree and the doctor's degree. So they had a lot of heavy weight here. And they walk down the street and they get to this scenario where they find this lady. And the Bible says that this lady committed adultery. She was a prostitute during the day. People, I don't know about you. I haven't seen that yet during the day. Okay, I don't know. Don't answer that question, okay? But maybe you've seen that in town just before the end of the day. Sometimes you see people, apparently I've been told there are certain spots they're standing. But okay, some of you would know probably. This lady actually committed adultery, or the act, she sinned, and as she was doing that, the Bible said, in the actual doing it, they caught her. Now, the Bible says, according to the law, I mean, they had the law on their side, so they knew, they've been doing this for ages and ages, we got you. There's no way out for you. We saw you. It's not even necessary for CSI. No, we saw you. It's enough witnesses. We don't have to get them in to bring you before the court. We've got enough people here. Let's take you to Jesus. And let's just trick him and see what he's going to say about this all. That's what the Bible says. So here they've got all the evidence lined up against this lady. She committed adultery. She's so wrong. She probably has got 3 or 4 children, I don't know, out of this relationships that she had or the short, quick ones that she had and. Very bad situation. They bring her to Jesus. Says, Jesus, here's the situation here. Can you just tell us what to do with this woman? Stop there for a moment, okay? I'll tell you another story. Come back to that. There's another story about the young man. This man, and it's in our context, would probably look like he's a very healthy businessman. He's just busy with this new project here at Walvis Bay, the new mall. He's busy building that mall. And it started with, they just finished the mall in Windhoek. We all are happy about the mall that's coming to Swakop on a Saturday. You want to take your kids down there, spend a lot of money and feel good about that. Buy a lot of clothes and a lot of stuff that you don't need. Go into the shop and become aware of needs that you don't have, and then you satisfy that need. And then, anyway. So he's a wealthy businessman. He doesn't swear. He's never cheated on his wife. He's actually a well-known man in the community. And then he approaches Jesus. Jesus is around. He heard about Jesus. Let me just stop there and ask Jesus a few questions. He said, Jesus, what should I do to enter eternity? Or what should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says to him, don't swear, don't murder. And he gives him a list, don't steal. So Jesus, I do all of those things. Stop the story there. Okay, I'm going to come back to that. Here's the thing, and I want to share this with you because it's beautiful what happens here. You see, when Jesus interacted with people, two things took place. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. Two things that I learned from the way he interacted with people that enabled him to connect to them, that enabled him to be honest and sensitive. First of all, as we see in all three of these stories, Jesus separated the inner man from the outer man. In other words, the spiritual man from the natural man. We have a problem here. Normally us as men, as men and women. We tend to look at the outside. We tend to struggle to connect to that person because we look at the social status, we look at the culture, we look at the color, we look at the education, we look at various things. We look at the money or whatever it might be. In some or another way, there's a barrier between us. And now we struggle to connect to that heart, to that person, because this seems to be such a big obstacle. So we'd rather live two worlds apart and we love one another. In my world, I love you, sister, I love you, I love you. Just remember, Jesus loves you, but I love you as well. But there's still such a wide gap between that. And that's why I say, God, help us. Because I'm not standing here perfectly in front of you. In actual fact, I just realized the gap is just so wide, and it's only God that will help us and able to bridge that gap. So we tend to struggle with that, and not Jesus. I mean, when I look at his life, Jesus was he was able to speak to this one person. He would speak to this Gentile woman, even call her a dog. I mean, imagine you come to church and the pastor calls you a dog. You would never come back to that church. But luckily, this woman had a heart that saw through that and said, but I'm willing even to be a dog. I'll eat the crumbs. But anyway, he heals the ruler of the synagogues, a very well-known pastor leader's daughter. Yet he would go back and he would heal a demonic man or drive the demons out of that. Then he would go into crowds again. Then he would go back from that to Nathanael. Then he would go to a Roman officer. All different kinds of people. He would even go as far and heal Peter's mother-in-law. Would you believe that? That's why I jokingly say, a lot of scholars says, that's why Peter denied Jesus. Because he healed his mother-in-law. But that's just a joke. Don't take notes of that. Okay. He would go all across different ages, barriers. There seemed to be there wasn't any barrier for Jesus. Because why? He separated the inner man from the outer man. And he enabled, or he was teaching us something here, that we have to look on the inside and see. You see, we have this problem, I've found sometimes, that when we relate to one another, there's often two responses that would come out of either I feel superior. Now, you might not say that, but deep, that might be underlying thing that is fueling the way, fueling the way we react to people. So when I feel superior, I look at them and I think, well, they're not as clever as I am. They don't know so much about the word as I do. And they wouldn't probably understand. So we tend to talk down to them. Because I'm a bit more advanced. I'm a bit further than them. It's actually just pride, but anyway. Or, if we don't struggle with that one, sometimes we feel inferior. We have a Moses-Pharaoh situation. I want you to go and share that with. I want you to talk to that person. No, God, not me. God, you surely don't understand. That's the president. You're asking me. How can you send me to that man? God, I can't go to that colleague. I can't go to my boss. God, surely it can't be me. And we start feeling inferior and we try and negotiate with God. So I rather just adapt the message or just try and get myself out of that so that God is just happy. And we struggle with this sometimes, yet Jesus didn't. You see, to the world, you have to see this. To the world, this was a man that was cunning, conniving. He took money from people that didn't belong to him. He would have the exchange rate, or he would have an interest rate. He would have a rate for taxes that's probably not the exact rate. He would probably charge them 25% while the going rate was 16% on their salaries and all of that. He would take from the poor people, and then he would keep the money for himself, and he will build himself a kingdom. And on the outside, this was a bad man. Yet, what Jesus saw was something different. Jesus saw, when he passed by, that though you might look at it that way, I see a hungry man. I see a man that's searching for truth. I see someone that's crying out for an answer. It says, all of this, it's not worth it. So my question is this morning, what do we see when we look at others? What would our conversation be with the Zacchaeus in our midst this morning? Would we have that conversation about, Zacchaeus, let me just talk about the money that you stole the other day. Let me talk about that rate that you used the other day. You took 25% from that poor brother of mine. Let's just sort this out quickly. Let's get the truth and let's just sort that out. How often do we relate? How often do we actually talk more about the issue than talking about where the heart is? And I know religiously we sometimes want to sort out things, and that's what religion does. Let me just quickly sort this out. Let me just quickly talk about the issue. We get you to the place of repentance and then we move on. And nothing happened here. See, to the world, she was a bad girl. Like I said, probably we don't know. Maybe she had a few children that came out of this these relationships, out of these adulterous relationships she had with people. She sold her body for money. She was committing the one sin after that. She was lying about that. A bad situation. Yet what Jesus saw is different. Jesus looks at that woman and sees something different there. This is a woman that's got a broken heart. A woman that has a repentant heart. A broken and contrite spirit, the Bible says, God will not reject. Remember that. And Jesus stops by after they all are there. I want you to see that, what's happening. The Pharisees bring this lady. They present her in front of Jesus and say, yes, listen, Jesus, sort this problem out for us. Can you tell us? We've got the law here. Chapter 15, paragraph 20, article. I'm not the prosecutor today, but just to remind you that the law of Moses said, and actually you gave the law, that we should stone her. Can you tell us what your verdict is? Can you tell us what we should do? We believe that's a tough situation where Jesus found himself. I mean, he gave the word. He gave the law. But I love Jesus' reaction. You know the story. He says, guys, that's fine. Here's a stone. Who wants to throw the first stone? You that's got no sin. Come and take the stone. Stone this lady, please. But the Bible says, in actual fact, and this is where I'm going to add to this, okay? Now you're going to think I'm going to, my interpretation, okay? We don't know what Jesus wrote in the ground, but that's what the Bible said. Jesus stepped down while they were talking, pretending that he didn't hear them, and then he started writing in the ground. They're all standing here in front of him. I don't know what he wrote, but I think, okay? Don't take that as law, okay? I think Jesus looked at them, Nicodemus, you stole money the other day. Peter, you cheated on your wife. So suddenly they realized, man, we're not all together as we thought it is. And they all walked away one by one. And then Jesus gave grace to that lady, to that woman. Then another one. There's a story about this young man, like I said, that came to Jesus, and Jesus asked him, after he asked him, have you done all of that? He says, yes. Jesus says, okay, then take your money, take all your possessions, sell them, and then give it to the poor. And the Bible says, he turned around and walked away, sadly. Sadly, I don't see in that scripture that after Jesus confronted him with the truth, and as the man walked away, I don't see that Jesus turned around or walked or ran behind him and said, come back here. I didn't mean it that way. I know it's hard to, let me just explain to you. Maybe that one is too tough. Let me just give you another one. Because he knew there's something here. Something different in this man that was different than in the other two stories we were telling one another. See, and Jesus left him there with that hard truth. He just carried on with what he was busy in, ministering to the other people. We don't know what happened to that young man, whether he ever came to Christ, maybe not. But here's my question. How do I relate to the people that seem to have it all together? the ones that seem to be okay. When God uses me, will I be honest? Will I be too afraid to offend them? I'm not saying go out there and just offend people, left, right, and center. That's what I'm saying. This is when we feel inferior. When Jesus wasn't affected by what he owned, who he was, who he is in the community. Because let me just be on his right side. Let me just don't offend him. You must understand, he's the governor of the region of Irungu. I have to make sure that I don't say something wrong. Even if God uses me to bring, I just have to adapt it a little bit because I want to make sure it's a good contact to have. Some of us, we are in such influential places. God wants to take you to bring the light into the kingdom of God, but he's not going to take you there if you're going to compensate. What's the word I'm looking for?
Compromise.
Compromise, sorry. I know when I said compensate, there's something wrong here. Compromise. Because that's the reason why it takes us out there. To be salt of the earth, salt and light of the earth. He's taking us into those high places to bring light in there. And if we're going to sit there and say, well, maybe not me. God, let's just take a little bit of this truth out of this picture. I mean, God, they wouldn't understand it. And we need wisdom with that. We really need wisdom where God is going to take us into those places. To be honest, but also to be sensitive in how we deliver that message. And how we get the message to the other side. But we can't be inferior to those things. And look at this second one this morning. So we're saying to one another, first of all, Jesus separated the spiritual man from the inner man. Secondly, Jesus always, the conversation would always go, start somewhere, but then it would take a turn and it would come back to one place. This side. Yeah. Heart is not this one. Okay. Jesus would aim some or another time by either making a statement or either putting a question out there to direct for the heart, to actually expose the heart. Jesus never exposes our hearts so that the world can see it. He exposes our hearts so that we can see it ourselves. Okay? So the moment Jesus exposes your heart, it's not to discuss it and discuss in the sense and justify yourself. When God asks you a question, it's not because he doesn't know the answer. He's actually asking you a question for a reason so that you start figuring out, why is he asking me this? Remember that. Sometimes we hear God's asking us questions and we think we have to answer him and justify why we are doing what we're doing, but it's actually just asking that for our own sake and able to open our eyes. Do you love your brother? Oh God, of course, yes, I love him. Now why did you ask me that question, Lord? Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, yes, yes, I'll be, count me in, I'm one of them. But Jesus knew there was something that had to be done in Peter's heart still. And when we have this scenario where there's three stories where Jesus is approaching or entering their life, all of them, different stages, there's a reason why it's asking these questions. There's a reason why it's going that direction with all three of them. You see, this young man, and this is the danger, you have to listen carefully here. He seemed to have it all together. He's going to church every week. He would pay his tithe, wouldn't take any money from God. He would give alms to the poor. No, not in this case. Sorry. Maybe he paid his tithe. I don't know. That's just my area. Okay. He did all the right things. But deep here, there's a big problem. And this is where we have to be careful. And I'm praying unto God that we will be careful of that as a church. He had a self-righteous spirit. I'm not too bad. I don't cheat on my wife. I don't swear. I'm actually a good person. I feel good about myself. I don't feel too bad. Yet, that's the very thing that Jesus opposed. Because self-justification says to God, I don't need you. That's what it says. If we have a revelation of grace, I tell you what, we'll run for grace continuously and say, God, more of that, more of that. Because I realize in my own strength, this is the thing, we realize when God says, love one another.
And God says, this is my level. And then we realize suddenly through the revelation that God gives us, enable us to see where we are. We are here. And say, God, this gap is just so wide. How are we going to get there? God says, there's only one way. Don't justify yourself. James 4:6 says, God gives grace to the humble, but resists the proud. There's something about a radiance that's around you that God says he wants to use to draw others to him. And it's Christ in you. That's a beautiful radiance. What's your name?
Oshi.
Let that radiance in Christ's fragrance just come out of you. That's beautiful. God is well pleased with that. And God says, careful of that. Careful of that in spirit. Because the moment we have such an attitude or such an heart, I tell you what, grace is not available to us. If we stand here this morning and we say to one another, whatever God puts on the table and says, I have to talk about this, and we come to that place where we realize, God, I missed the mark. I miss it, surely, God. Help me. That's the moment, that's the most beautiful moment when God says, okay, that's all I wanted to hear. That you just acknowledge that you can't do that in your own strength. I want to help you. Here's grace. It's going to help you to do what truth demands of you. Let's end with the other two scenarios. Different thing than the first or than the young man. Zacchaeus, up in the tree, bad man, took money, and Jesus came by. Jesus looked at Zacchaeus and says, Zacchaeus, come down. Because what did Jesus see? Jesus saw this man is hungry. This man wants change. He probably doesn't know how to and where to start. But he saw something. John 5:19 says, the son does nothing unless he sees what the father does and he does likewise. In other words, Jesus didn't go and do things in his own strength. He was witnessing, he was observing what the Father, what the Holy Spirit already did in Zacchaeus' life. And then he decided, well, let me just join and finish what the Holy Spirit already started, that hunger. The woman that appeared or that they brought to Jesus. Same thing. On paper, can't go around that. That's sin. It's wrong. Yet, that woman had a repentant heart, a broken heart. A heart that says, God, I'm sorry about this mess. I'm sorry about how I disappointed you. God, I'm thinking, I'm at a place where I know they caught me. God, I knew this for a long time now. But I'm at a place, Lord, that I need change in my life. And Jesus looks at her and he says to her, you know what? Grace and truth. The Bible says, John 1:17, that Jesus came to bring the full embodiment of grace and truth. And Jesus looked at her and he gives her full truth. He says, yes, you are a sinner. Yes, that's wrong. That's sin. But I'm going to give you grace. Go and sin no more. You deserve to be stoned, but I'm not going to give you that. That is grace. You know what? When we come to that place where we are at the end of ourselves, God is ready to step in and say, my grace is freely available to you. Let's close our eyes. I just want you to be quiet for a moment and just, while nobody's looking around, just allow the Holy Spirit just to minister to you. Because there's many of us maybe this morning that try to fix things in our own strength. But this morning God wants to take you to that place, that deep place in Him. We were singing about that earlier on. That deep place in Him. You don't have such a relationship with God that you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Where you are in a relationship with Christ. Where you can call Him your Savior. Where you can speak to Him. Where He can minister to you, where He fills that empty void inside of you. But the only place how you're going to get there is to come to the end of yourself, where you have to realize you can't do things, you can't carry on in your life the way you did things. He wants a relationship with you this morning. I want to give you that opportunity to say, Lord, it's me. I want that relationship today. Not tomorrow. God, I don't want to postpone it. Today, Lord, I want you to walk into my life to change that completely. I don't want this day to be the same as any other day. This day, it stops. This day is the day of my salvation. This day is the day that I can acknowledge, God, you turned my life around. Yeah, that's you. And I know nobody's looking around. Just where you are. Just to acknowledge that and say, that's me. God is talking to me. this day is my day. This is my day of salvation. While nobody's looking around, just to raise your hand quickly and then you can lower it. I just want to pray with you wherever you are. Thank you, Jesus. We don't have to be shy about that. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I can see that. I'm going to linger a little bit longer. Somebody is still wrestling. When are you just going to give in? God says, this is your day. This is your day. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning and you are another group of people I want to pray for. You are sometimes intimidated by others. You feel you're not adequate enough to speak to others or to minister to others or to be used by God. And you almost feel inferior. And God says, I want to heal you of that. I want to use you. I want to send you to the pharaohs of this world, like Moses. I want you to find your strength, not in yourself, in your eloquency of words, or your knowledge of scripture, but in the fact that I've sent you, that I am, have sent you. It's me that's behind you. And I'll equip you, I'll give you all of that, but I want your willingness. If that's you, just to raise your hand where you are. To say, that's me. I sometimes struggle. I have a fear of man sometimes. I don't know how to, but I want to be used by God. I know there's many of us this morning that say, God wants to use you. He's just looking for you, just for a heart that says, God, I need grace in that area. Jesus. And I specifically want to pray. We prayed in the first service for people, for healing. God did wonderful things there. I believe the same God is present here this morning. If you feel there's pain in your body, there's something that you are crying out to God, I say, God, touch that. Touch that this morning. I want you to come to the front, those of us that says, I'm feeling inferior maybe this morning. I feel, God, I've got a fear of man, but I want to be used, Lord. I don't know how to be honest sometimes. Sometimes I hit people with the truth and it hurts. And God, teach me to be sensitive. Oh, God, I need healing this morning. I want you to quickly come to the front and we're going to pray with you as we close the service. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you. This is a new day. Thank you, Jesus. You empower. You loosen the tongue, Lord. You lay words upon this tongue, Lord. And it says in love, thus says the Lord, that enable to love, that enable to draw others unto you, Lord, through her. Thank you, Father, for a new world that's opening up. A witness in the midst of darkness, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we thank you. You're still the same God, Father, that says, I am who I am. Today, Lord, you are that God that's in our midst, Lord. That does amazing things through this woman, Lord. Irrespective of what truth says, Lord. This morning, Lord, we choose to believe what your word says, Lord. I am healed. In Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. God's got a plan and purpose continually. It's just reminding me of you. family didn't want you. The world rejected you. But I didn't reject you. I'm drawing you to a place closer than ever before. Draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Jesus. Change the tongue of this man, Lord. Give him a new song, Lord. A new song to sing unto you, Lord. To glorify your name, Jesus. Pero si ne yeti asa tu yondo ku. Baye salia tu unda basi andaka. Jesus, we thank you. You give more. An abundance of you, of your presence in this life, Lord. He'll be a fountain wherever he is. Others will run to him, Lord, to drink water, Christ in him. An abundance of Christ flowing out of him. Jesus, thank you. Your protection upon them, Lord. Your provision upon them. Raise them up as mighty warriors in your kingdom, Lord. Let's all stand.